The text of my message today is from the eighth chapter of 2 Corinthians. Paul is again pleading with the Corinthian church to give a generous offering for the distressed brethren in the church at Jerusalem. And he asked them to finish what they have started with these words. Finish it then as well as your means allow, and show that you can complete what you have set out to do with as much readiness as you showed eagerness to begin. The important thing is to be willing to give as much as you can. That is what God accepts, and no one is asked to give what he does not have. May God bless us as we think together along that line. Our Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In Christ's name, amen. I have been very impressed, very gratified at the thoroughness with which the committee and the membership have gone about this campaign. The committee has carried through on every suggestion I made, sometimes even adding to it. The organization has been very, very well done, complete and thorough in every way. Anything that is organized is always appreciated. I'm sure you might have heard about the medical clinic that was like that. A construction crew was working near a medical clinic. One of the workers got a minor injury to his hand. He said, "Oh, it's nothing." The boss said, "Well, you need to go down to that medical clinic and get it checked out." He said, "Where is it?" He said, "Just go down the street. There's a big sign. Go down there and get it checked out." So the worker went. He saw the sign, "Enter here." He entered the building, and there was nobody in the room. But there were two doors on the opposite side. One door said injury, one said illness. He went through the injury door, got into another room, and nobody there. Two doors, major and minor. He said, "Mine's minor," so he went through that door. Nobody in that room. Two more doors, internal, external. He said, "Mine's external," and went through that door. Nobody in that room. Two more doors, treatment, therapy. He went through treatment, found himself back out on the street. Went back to his job. The boss said, "Did you find the clinic?" He said, "Yes." He said, "What'd they do for you?" He said, "Not a thing, but it's the best organized clinic in the world." Well, you've had a well-organized campaign, but the results are going to be different. You might well ask, why is he here today? I'm here because last fall I came over and shared my ideas of a capital fund campaign with your committee. And they decided that they wanted to use it. And a part of it would be for me to come this morning and lead you in this commitment service. To whom am I addressing my remark today? It would be several categories. First of all, it would be those who made a commitment previously and will make a commitment again today, but do not feel that you can increase it. Now, I can look out and see that a number of you, like I am, you're retired and you're on a fixed income. I don't know about you, but since I've retired, I've found out what a fixed income is. Nothing stays fixed. The car, the washing machine, the dryer, the television, the lawnmower, nothing. But even then, If our priorities are in order, we can continue to give. Then a second category would be those who made a commitment previously, but now you can increase that commitment, and you will do so this morning. And I hope and pray that there are many of you in that category. Then there are those who made no commitment previously. Now, this might include several different groups of people. It would be the new members who have joined since the previous campaign, and you want to have a part in this. It might be someone who did not support the program originally, but now you see the benefits of the building. You hear what it is doing. You've heard the testimony of those who are using it. You know what it's doing for the children and youth in their programs. And you want to make a commitment this time. And I understand from some of the speeches that there are a number in that category. Then there are the children. And I sincerely hope that parents will assist their children in making a commitment. I think that this is important, that years later they can look at that building and say to their children or their grandchildren, yes, I had a part in paying for that building. Let me tell you this. In my church, which is Vicky's home church in Lancaster, the story is there of when the church burned in 1908, a young boy, even while the building was still burning, went up to a church official, gave him 10 cents, and said, I want to make a contribution to the rebuilding of the church. That story is in the official history of First United Methodist Church, Lancaster, South Carolina. I was that man's pastor 60 years later, and he was still active, still pleased that as a boy, he inspired others to give. So help your children make a commitment. These, I think, would be some of the people to whom I would like to address my remarks this morning. Now, a program like this needs and demands unity. Each person, the amount will vary, but each person doing what he or she can to the best of your ability. That's what Paul says in this scripture. Giving according to your ability, according to your means. Each person, unity, all together in this. Unfinished tasks always have had a sore spot in my thinking. Someone began something. Jesus even talked about people who start a building and then cannot finish it. He talked about those who start a war and have not the means or the resources to conclude the war. I don't like an unfinished task. Once years ago, when I was new in a particular church, I'd understood that there was a woman who needed a pastoral visit right away. It was in a rural area, streets not marked and so forth, so I asked her husband for directions to his house, and he gave me directions. And he said, you'll go down this road, and there's a new brick home, but it has wooden steps. I haven't finished it yet and put the brick steps to it, but I plan to do that right away. I followed his directions and found the house, a brick home with wooden steps. 20 years later, I was in that community again, went down that road and by that house, and the same wooden steps were still there. An unfinished task. for a number of years while the family vacationed at North Myrtle Beach. There was a small hotel, not very large, some 4 or 5 stories high. It had the walls, but no covering, no roof, and nothing else but the walls. We watched it year by year, quite distressed that it wasn't finished. But then finally, after several years, one summer when we went back, there it was, completed. They finally got around to completing the task. Now, I know that you'll finish paying for this building. You'll finish it sooner or later. But why not sooner? Why not get through with this job so you can tackle something else? Why not complete it as soon as possible? You remember when the children in their exodus from Egypt made their headquarters at Mount Sinai for a good long while. And finally Moses said, "We've walked around this mountain long enough. Let's move on." Walking around the same mountain year after year gets tiresome. Having the paying of the building before you for a long, long period of time will get tiresome. Do it, and do it now. Don't make a commitment today that you can't afford. And if you don't want to make a commitment today, you can find plenty of excuses why you shouldn't. Many excuses. Uncertain future. I don't know what the future holds. How can I make a pledge for 3 years from now when I don't know what the future holds about the economy, about my job, about health? We do it on faith. We do it on faith. I don't know, and I don't know anyone else knows what the future holds. I'm not a psychic, and I'm not a fortune teller. Perhaps you heard about the two men who were traveling and they kept seeing signs about fortune teller. Have your fortune read. They stopped to do it. The first man had kind of the routine, you're going to do well and having a great family and all that. The second one, she said, "Your wife's second husband will be a handsome, charming, virile man. He'll be a man's man." And when they were leaving, the friend said, "I know you got upset with her for what she said about your wife's second husband." He said, "No, but I'm mad with my wife." "Why?" "She never told me she'd been married before." We are not predictors of the future. We don't know. We have to trust God. What happens down the road is not the important issue. It's what happens today that is crucial. What am I willing to do now? How will I respond to God's call today? How will I respond to the need for the work which can be accomplished in that building? How can I respond to help children and young people grow in Christian knowledge, in Christian fellowship? How can I help? How can I bring this task to conclusion? A church was having a building campaign. The minister stood one Sunday and said, "I got some good news and bad news." "What's the good news?" "The good news is we have enough money to complete the task." "What's the bad news?" "The bad news is still in your pockets and bank account." I have good news and good news. The good news, we have enough to finish paying for that building. The good news is I firmly believe you're going to make a commitment to do that this morning. The question in everyone's mind is, how much should I pledge? where does it come in my list of priorities? In the 16th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, verses 16 and 17, there's an incident, an interesting incident. They're told that three times a year, all the males, and remember that the Old Testament is a male chauvinistic society, and I'm sorry that left the women out of this. All you males shall make a special offering. This would be in addition to their tithe, which was expected, just the same as yours is. Whatever you give to the building program is in addition to what you already give to carry on the work of the church. And then the scripture says, all shall give as they are able, according to the blessing the Lord your God has given you. All shall give as they are able, according to the blessings you've received. A twofold test, ability to give and blessings you've received. Jesus said, to whom much is given, much is required. And it has to be that way. Some will be small, some will be large. Each doing what he or she can. The book of Exodus records that Moses wanted to build a sanctuary. And so he asked the people to bring their silver and gold, their acacia wood, and other precious metals. And they brought so much that finally he had to say, enough, enough, don't bring any more. I firmly believe that if you this morning do what you're capable of doing, that Shell, Dula, and Jim Dennis will say, enough, enough, don't bring any more. This morning, don't think about what someone else might or might not do. Think only of your ability and the blessings that God has given you. I'm counting on you. Your pastor is counting on you. The leadership is counting on you. And yes, I believe that God is counting on you to fully complete this program, which will enable your children and youth to more fully become a part of His kingdom. I'm counting on you. Do your best. Have a part in this program. Once in the rural church I was serving, we were going to build a new parsonage, financing over a 3-year period. I went one cold, rainy December afternoon to see one of our shut-in members. She lived in a house that was almost ready to fall down. She was in the living room, a room heated by a space gas heater. She had her shoes off and her feet propped up on an ottoman. She was a diabetic and her feet were red and swollen and angry looking. I had a visit with her, had a prayer, and got up to leave. She said, oh, by the way, do you have a pledge card for the parsonage building fund? I had one, but I didn't want to give it to her. And I said, how in the world would you pay for a pledge to the building fund? She said, I have it all figured out. You know, I have some chickens, and I want to give the proceeds of a dozen eggs a week to the parsonage building fund. I want to have a part in the building of the home where my pastor is going to live. She never lived to complete that pledge. But that wasn't the important thing. She was willing to do, she wanted to do what she could, which is exactly the commendation that Jesus gave to the widow who put the 2 small copper coins into the treasury of the temple. Doing what you can as you're able. Now you'll pay. You'll pay for that building. You're not going to let the bank foreclose it. The only issue is when. When. The sooner the better. The publicity has been done. The letters have been written. The posters have been in place. The speeches have been made. The prayer chain has been most successful. Now, it's in your hands. It's in your hands. It's a matter simply between you and God. Now is the time. What will you do? What will your response be today? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.